We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
And we're back. Like we never left. Oregon fans, what's going on? How we living? Thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Ducks Dish Podcast. It's Tuesday, April 9th, 2024. A beautiful, sunny Long Beach, California is where I'm coming to you from on today's episode of the podcast. Glad you're here. Thank you so much for being here. It's a great day when we're talking some Oregon football, and it's an even better day, I'd argue, because I'm not rolling solo. I am joined by a very special guest. Former Oregon quarterback Joey Harrington is on the show. Joey, how the heck are you? Thank you for being here.
I'm good. It's a beautifully sunny day. I'm looking out my window here in Portland too. So, you know, we got that going on. Who needs Long Beach when you got sunny Portland, right?
No, I know. I feel like after living in the Northwest for 6 years, I was also up in Spokane, Washington. Not sure if you spent much time out there, but the rainy weather, I feel like, makes the sunny days hit that much better. And, you know, you enjoy them that much more.
That's one way to look at it.
Very cool. Well, I wanted to bring Joey on to talk some Oregon football and just have a good little chat here. The Ducks held their sixth spring practice in Eugene this morning, and there was one very important new face out there on the fields. That is new Oregon running backs coach Rashad Samples, who comes over from Arizona State, where he was coaching the wide receivers and serving as the passing game coordinator on Kenny Dillingham's staff. What do you think kind of just of this move, Joey, seeing that the Ducks had to replace Carlos Lachlan, who departed for Ohio State?
Yeah. You know, I think what I told you earlier, you know, when we were talking yesterday, I know nothing about him. I mean, I'm not going to try and and make something up. I don't know anything about him. However, what I do know is that college football has changed, right? College football has changed to, I mean, essentially it's a year in, year out, free agency, minor league version of the NFL, right? What we knew of college football, you know, 10, 20, 30 years ago doesn't exist. So what Coach Samples brings is a resume of recruiting, a resume of excitement, right? Which is, if you are having to, you know, the coaches that I've talked to have said, not only do we have to recruit, we have to recruit three different areas now. You have to recruit the incoming high school students. You have to recruit the existing players at the other schools that could be coming from the transfer portal. And you have to recruit your own players to stick around every year, right? So if you can have somebody that is so well thought of as a young coaching talent, as well as somebody who brings a resume of recruiting success, that's a huge asset for a coaching staff now in the new landscape of college football, right? You know, that's exactly the type of guy that you want to have on your staff.
I think Samples definitely checks a number of boxes for landing certainly one that comes to mind is this trend that we've seen of him hiring younger coaches or up-and-comers. We saw it with Samples, obviously. Alik Terry is another who came over from the Minnesota Vikings to replace Adrian Clem when he departed for the New England Patriots. And then another young name is Rashad Wadud, who was actually coaching in my backyard at Long Beach Poly, just up the road. And he joined the staff and has kind of started to work his way up a little bit, getting a bit of a promotion to work with the corners following Demetrius Martin's departure. So I think Samples definitely is another young, bright coach that is going to help take recruiting at Oregon. A lot of fans are hoping to the next level. And I think it's a good thing that he hired young, because like you were saying, in this kind of free agency-esque era of college football, someone can get plucked from your roster or plucked from your staff at the drop of a hat. And I think you really save yourself a lot of trouble if you bring in quality young coaches who are maybe capable of taking that next step and being promoted from within when vacancies arise.
Yeah, I think the key is, you know, which has really, what do we say, the last 3-4 years or so, it's the ability to have to be fluid, to be flexible, to acknowledge that somebody may be here today and gone tomorrow, right? But how can I get the best out of what they are right now? That's the reality of college football. And to be able to have somebody, like you said, who's young, who has that connection, who has that energy, because this is it's a grind. I mean, this is not a young man's game anymore. I mean, we saw Chip Kelly just step away from being a head coach and saying, you know what, I don't want that responsibility anymore. I don't want to do that. I just want to coach. I want to step back. It is an absolute grind. And so to have someone with that energy, with that youth, with knowing that they're going to be a good coach, or I should say have, you know, I've heard a lot of people mention that he, you know, I think it was Kenny Dillingham, said that he would not be surprised if he was going to be the youngest head coach in college football at some point, right? This is a guy who you need to make these splashes, because you're recruiting your own. You're recruiting a new team every single year, and I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what else to say other than just acknowledging that college football is completely changed. Right? This is a new world of college football that exists. Everybody's kind of trying to figure it out. But I love the steps that Oregon has taken, and I love the steps that Coach Lanning has taken in putting his staff together.
And I think Lanning has proven that he has one of those crucial components of a quality head coach. And that's not only to be able to acquire elite talent to play on the field on Saturdays, but you also have to be able to identify and acquire elite coaches or elite staff members, personnel, recruiting, whatever it is. There's no small position in today's era of college football. Whether you're looking at Wilson Love in the weight room as well. I mean, that quickly becomes so important when he's the guy that the players are spending a majority of their time with in the offseason. And that is just so instrumental to molding these guys, these players, into what you ultimately want them to be. And that's an upgraded version of themselves from last season to this upcoming season, or whatever the time window that you want to use. So I personally like the Samples hire a lot. I like that he's a younger coach. He also has some NFL experience. That is definitely a bonus. A lot of recruits obviously want to get to that professional level. So we'll have to see what he can do with this room. And he inherits a heck of a running back room with Jordan James, Noah Whittington, and Jay Harris comes over from Northwest Missouri State, just to name a few. So Rashad Samples is the newest face in Eugene, and I think he gives Duck fans a lot to be excited about.
Completely agree.
Moving along here, we got a couple people here in the chat. Appreciate you guys for tuning in. Make sure to like and subscribe to the channel at Oregon Football Max Taurus if you're watching us here on YouTube. Another person I wanted to ask you about, Joey, let's talk about some Oregon quarterbacks. You obviously played quarterback at a very high level during your time at Oregon. And, we saw Oregon get a Heisman finalist and Bo Nix last year. And I think it's been fun to see where he's kind of being discussed in these NFL draft equations, because this is a crazy loaded class. But I mean, this guy just completely reinvented himself when he got to Oregon. What do you think about Bo Nix?
I love him. I mean, I love him as a person, a player, an athlete, a competitor. Like, you know, what I told him, you know, the few times, you know, I've gotten to spend a little bit of time with him is mainly just thank you, right? I don't think anybody can look at Bo Nix and not acknowledge what he's done for our program, right? And not just what he's done, but the way in which he's done it, right? Bo Nix was a cast off at Auburn, you know, looking for a new start. You know, he was the incredibly talented guy that got run out of town, that, you know, didn't live up to the hype, and he just showed up to Oregon and worked, right? And I think that's the biggest thing that I've seen from Bo, is when you show up and go to work, you earn the respect of people around you. After his junior year, where, you know, he had a ton of success, right? The knock on him was, well, you know, he gets out of the pocket too much, right? He's good in making plays in space, but, you know, I'd like to see him sit in the pocket and complete some passes. Okay, great. So what did he do his senior year? He just sat in the pocket and broke the NCAA completion percentage record, right? You know, like the fact that he's been able to, I won't say listen to criticism, but not just revel in his successes, to say like, hey, this is something I'm doing well, but this is something also that I need to work on. This is, you know, this is a reason why I left Auburn. This is a reason why we didn't finish things off as, you know, my junior year. Like, there's always a willingness to listen, a willingness to tinker, a willingness to work harder, to get better, to acknowledge that there's always improvements to make. Like, the way that he's just approached things, I've been from the moment he's gotten here, I was so impressed. He has molded himself into the type of player. Like, you know, people have asked me, who do I see him? Give me a comparison, an NFL comparison. For me, it's Russell Wilson, right? A guy who was a bit undersized, you know, wasn't 6'4", moved well, had good knowledge, understanding of the game, threw an incredible deep ball, right? But had a few, I won't say physical, you know, deficiencies, but, you know, look, I played with Drew Brees. I know that it's tough to see in the pocket when you're, you know, when you're only 6'6", 6'1". That's a real physical limitation, but still Russell Wilson was able to, you know, won himself a Super Bowl. You know, he's pretty dang good quarterback. I see Bo Nix in that same mold. I mean, just incredibly smart, a great worker, a good leader, throws a phenomenal deep ball. I mean, he might throw the best deep ball in the draft class. And that's the type of player that I think he could be in the NFL. But I think the thing that I was, like I said, I'm most impressed with is, yeah, he's a great football player, but the way that he's handled himself and the way that he's adopted this Oregon community, adopted the Oregon program. I mean, really, you know, there are a lot of guys that could have come in and, you know, said, hey, I'm using you as a springboard to get to the NFL. You know, I'm an Auburn guy. I'm from the South. My dad played at Auburn. That's, you know, that's where my, you know, where my true loyalties lie. And I'm just going to use Oregon as a way to springboard into the NFL. That's not what he did. You know, he embraced this team. He embraced this community, this, you know, the city of Eugene, and they embraced him back. And I think that's one of the really cool things about college football, that I think still to a certain extent exists is when you truly give everything that you have to a community, to a program, to a university, I'd like to think that university will give it back, right? Will embrace you the same way. Even though college football is changing, like we just talked about, I'd like to think, or I really hope that piece can still stick around, because to see the way that Bo and the Eugene community connected over the last couple of years is pretty special.
Talking with former Oregon quarterback Joey Harrington here on the Ducks Dish podcast on a Tuesday late morning. Joey, just awesome stuff there about Bo. I feel like after hearing that, we could do a whole episode just on Bo Nix. But I think I was a little bit bummed that I didn't get to live in Eugene during the Bo Nix era. He joined the team pretty much right when I moved out to SoCal. But I did get to see him a couple times. I covered the Cal game on the road and then the USC game last year. And he was always just such an awesome person to talk to. Like, just so, so genuine, very much, the yes, sir, no, sir, always answered your questions. And I just loved watching how he carried himself. I feel like maybe it was just a coincidence, but I feel like it was very much in that Marcus Mariota light, just the way he carried himself and always kind of tried to make people around him better. I feel like he was really the quarterback that Oregon needed. And I think that it's kind of interesting to look back at his career when honestly the perception around his commitment to Oregon wasn't the best from maybe a lot of the fans, because it was a very up and down time at Auburn.
Yeah. I think it's fair to say that people didn't quite know what they were getting from Bo, right? There was the narrative. I remember we talked about it quite a bit when he showed up, was, are we getting good Bo or are we getting bad Bo? Right. Good Bo was phenomenal. I mean, he was all American. Bad Bo, turned the football over, lost his starting job at Auburn. And I think there was maybe a little bit of, I don't know if trepidation is the right word, but that first game against Georgia, his first opportunity, right? It wasn't lights out. But credit him, credit the coaches, credit the teammates for literally just putting his nose down and just went to work. Like you said, yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. There was no ego. There was no, like I said a minute ago, he wasn't using Oregon to get something for himself. He was looking to get a fresh start. He was looking to play football. Like, that's what I've heard him say so many times is, why did you throw at the combine? Why did you stick around for a fifth, for another year? Why did you? And his answer is always the same. It's because I just want to play football. I just love football. And as a teammate, you get behind that. You can follow that. Like, that's what a great leader does. Is they show their teammates that this isn't something that is passive to them. This isn't something that is a means to an end, that they're going to put in as much work, more work than anybody else, because it's personal, right? And when your leader shows that it's personal, when your leader shows that it matters, when your leader shows that he's willing to work, man, that's everything. Like, that's exactly what you're looking for in a quarterback.
Love that perspective, Joey. And for Bo, as good of a player as he was, all the highlights that he gave Oregon fans, that there was never a tendency to put the spotlight on himself, which is just constant selflessness, which you can't help but root for. While Oregon certainly had a lot of stellar quarterback play, the game keeps going. And now the Ducks move on from Bo Nix and find themselves in as good of a situation as you could probably ask for when they bring over Dylan Gabriel and Dante Moore from Oklahoma and UCLA respectively via the transfer portal. But let's talk about Gabriel, because he's viewed by many as the projected starter, and I think for good reason. Only has one more year left of college football. What do we think about the former Sooner turned Duck?
Well, I'm going to start in the same way that we just left off with Bo, and I don't think there could be a better person to represent Oregon football. I mean, I had a chance. Like, he called me a couple weeks ago, just out of the blue, and was wanting to make connections in the community. Like, was wanting to. Long story short, he's running a fundraiser back at his high school in Hawaii. And his point is, look, I'm incredibly lucky to be playing in this world of NIL college football, right? Getting paid to play college football. And I want to put that to good use. You know, he said there's so many narratives about, you know, about the bad things of the NIL world. I want to be an example of something that's good. And I was like, you better believe it. Like, this is exactly we're literally going from, you know, from Bo Nix, who was that exact same way, to a guy in Dylan who showed up and that's the first thing he wants to talk about. I mean, he is a fantastic person and will be an incredible representative of Oregon football. Now, that being said, he's also a hell of a football player. I mean, we saw it at Central Florida. You saw it at Oklahoma. This guy is a talented football player. Again, not big, you know, not, you know, statistically, you know, he's not an imposing guy. You know, he's not checking the boxes in terms of prototypical NFL size and speed and strength. But man, sometimes you can just play, right? That's. I don't want to continue to compare Dylan to Bo. One, because it's not fair to Dylan. You know, he is his own person. And two, you know, they're different people. But it's very similar in terms of having a leader who is just a little bit undersized, having a leader that maybe people say, yeah, well, he's a great college. He could be a good college football player, but he may not be a great pro. He's got shortcomings, right? Like, hey, he's no Caleb Williams or whatever that comparison is. Like, that's the type of chip on your shoulder that leads to greatness. Like, that's the type of, like I said, I was around Drew Brees. I backed him up my last year in New Orleans and saw that chip that he played with, saw that the work that he put in, saw that, you know, all the ways that he used the people who doubted him to turn that into personal success. Like, you combine that with the character of a guy like Dylan, and that's a recipe for a pretty fantastic leader.
There's so much to be excited about with this, admittedly going to be a short era of Dylan Gabriel at Oregon, yeah. Right? But I mean, there's so much to be excited about. Like, you talk about the person, and I feel like that's kind of something that lends itself to a lot of excitement. Just the fact that Dylan and Bo, they just seem to fit into the Oregon culture, the Eugene community, the Oregon football family so well. And it's impossible to put a value on that. You know, there's no way to really measure that unless you look at what happens on Saturdays or look at what's happening in the community. But so much of that is behind the scenes, right? So I'm super excited for that. Excited to cover a left-handed quarterback. I've never gotten to do that during my time covering this team.
You didn't cover Tony Graziani? Come on now.
No, I started covering Oregon when I was at Gonzaga in 2018. Yeah. And that was just doing recruiting interviews over the phone. So I kind of gotten more and more access and getting closer to all of this. But it'll be fun to see another guy wear number 8 sling the rock around.
Well, you mentioned Dante Moore, and I didn't want to pass on that just for Dylan. I'm curious how this is going to go. I really am. Because, again, like, let's stay with the topic of the new world of college football. Dante went to UCLA, decommitted from Oregon, right? You know, said, I'm out. I'm going to UCLA. You make the assumption because he was promised something, whether it was money or opportunity to play. And then left and came to a place where he is going to be the presumptive backup, right? I'm sure coaches said, hey, best player plays. But I think that you have to make the assumption that it's going to be Dylan in the end. Does a guy like that stick around, right? And if he does, what does that say about him as a person, right? That's something that I'm excited for Dylan. I'm excited for this year. Could it be a Vernon Adams type of season? Sure, absolutely.
Which wasn't a bad season. That was an exciting season.
Absolutely, yeah. But I'm excited to see what potentially comes from Dante, right? Does his decision as a 17, 18-year-old high school senior and maybe realizing, hey, and I'm making an assumption or putting words in his mouth. I understand. I know nothing of his situation. But did that experience say to him, maybe that wasn't the right decision. Maybe I do need to learn some things. Maybe Oregon is a good place for me long term. Let me go there and learn. Let me go there and just take a back seat for a minute so that I could potentially have more success down the road. Because that's the reality of what could happen, right? He could use this experience, the experience at UCLA, the experience of sitting behind Dylan, to then become an even better player for a longer time at Oregon. And if that is what he does, and if that's the way it plays out, man, how cool would that be to see a guy who in this age of transferring from school to school, chasing a paycheck, was willing to say, you know what, I'm going to come here, I'm going to sit, I'm going to learn, and in the end, I'm going to be better for it. That's what I'm really curious to see, and we'll be excited to see if it works out.
Yeah, Dante is such an intriguing player to watch on this roster because of everything that you just mentioned. I think his path to Oregon, albeit a second time around, right, took two tries. It's a really refreshing thing to see with everything that's happened with the sport, people supposedly chasing money. Just that's a general topic, right? And didn't have the best season at UCLA, but I think it's incredibly valuable. If you're just looking at Oregon's roster now, he has the most experience pretty much aside from Dylan Gabriel. And the people that I've talked to that have kind of spent some time around Dante and Eugene, that they just tell me he's happy. Like one quote that came to mind is like, he looks like a kid in the candy shop. So I think that speaks to a lot of the value of just him finding a place that feels more like home to him, where he's going to be taken care of and developed as a person and a player. So I'm super excited about Dante. Joey, I'll be honest with you. I feel like I'm really enjoying our time, but it's going to be hard to keep it to 30. So I just wanted to do a live check-in with you to make sure I'm being respectful of what you got going on.
Oh, don't stress. We're good. I can talk Oregon football forever. So don't stress. Just keep rolling.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right. Well, I'd like to think the same myself, but really having a blast here. Love talking about the quarterbacks, but there's more to it than just the quarterbacks.
Come on. Football's all about. Okay, go ahead.
I'm gonna throw a little bit of a curveball at you right now. Not sure where it's gonna lead me, but I wanted to ask you about 1813 University Street. And if you have any memories or fun stories from there.
Oh boy, my first question is, how in the world do you know about that?
I just know some people, and one of them texted me and said, "Oh, you got to ask Joey about that." But I'll follow up with you after.
So 1813 University, that was where I lived for 3 years. It was right on the corner of 18th and University. You hit a home run over the right field fence at the softball field, and you put it in our yard. It is no longer. It's now an apartment building. That's the experience that, or I would say part of my college experience that made it so great, right, is, you know, on Saturdays in the fall, I was at Autzen. You know, you're in front of 50,000 people, and you know, you have this persona. At 1813, I lived with the only guy that had a football connection was there were six of us there. One of them was an equipment manager on the team. The other four were guys I went to high school with. One we met at school there in Eugene was from the Bay Area. And it was an escape. I don't know if that's the right word. It was normal, right? For so much of my life in that time, that wasn't normal. You know, 10-story billboards in New York City. We don't even need to go down the path of ridiculousness. That's an entire, you know, other podcast. That was still normal. That was still relatable. That was still the experience that everybody else was having in college, right? We'd walk out the front door and you know, we'd peer around the corner to see when people were lining up at Mac Court for the basketball games. And as soon as one person was there, then, you know, boom, we took off. And, you know, we're lining up and we're getting our costume set. And, you know, then it's like, well, God, we're all at the pit, and, you know, we see the same people there every time, and we're going crazy in the basketball section. Why don't we organize? And so, you know, that was part of me starting the pit crew, and, you know, like having those experiences of just being a normal college kid. I was going to say of like college pranks. Okay. So this may or may not have happened. I can neither confirm nor deny. But right. I may have gone down to the Oregon, the Department of Transportation office in Eugene, and slipped them a couple bucks to make an actual highway sign, you know, the green and white reflective, right? It was about, God, what's wingspan? Let's call it 6 feet long.
Big sign.
It was probably 6 foot by 1 foot. And it just said, "Beavers suck." And I may or may not have handed that sign to my 1813 college roommates before I went to the hotel for a Civil War game my senior year, right? Hey, what you do with it is up to you. And they may or may not have fastened it to a street sign, like the four, you know, the 4x4 posts that had the parking signs in Eugene there. They may or may not have taken one down, fastened it there, and posted it in the middle of I-5 on the day that on that Saturday of Civil War. So when people were driving from Portland And then they may or may not have gotten back to take the sign back and put it up on the side of our house on 1813. So my point is, I got to be a college kid, right? That's what was so great is, you know, all those memories that people have about that weren't college athletes, that they have about college, the things that made it so great for them. I got to do both. Right, I got to be a Division I college athlete, a Heisman Trophy finalist. I got to, you know, was a third pick of the NFL draft, and I got to just be a kid with my friends. And I got to enjoy college basketball games, and I got to enjoy track meets and spring, you know, spring days in Eugene. And yeah, 1813 was pretty dang cool.
Nice. Now that's, we got like a bunch of great stories in one answer with that one. And I think that it's nice to hear about just the importance of being able to be a kid, because I feel like with the spotlight and the social media and everything that's placed on these kids and these student athletes now, it's increasingly forgotten or pushed to the backdrop of everything. So it's so important to be able to have those times to just be a kid and just unwind. I only got to live in Eugene for 2 years. One of them was during the pandemic. So like the worst time possible to move out to Eugene, you know, I've been covering the Ducks remotely and I was like, all right, I'm going to go to grad school and get to have boots on the ground coverage. But my first game in Autzen was a bunch of paper fans in the stadium. But, you know, my rundown college type house with three of my best buds, was really kind of my piece, getting to, you know, play some beer dye in the front yard on a sunny day. I mean, I feel like I'm traveling to Eugene just by talking about this. It was such a fun time. It's so hard to beat Eugene.
Yeah, I agree. I'm still going to circle back and figure out where you learned about 1813. There are some secrets there that, we have to make sure don't get out.
Fair enough. No worries. Well, I had a couple more I wanted to hit on while I had you here on the show. Let's talk about Dan Lanning, because he is one of the biggest names in college football right now. He wins a national championship as the DC at Georgia and then comes over to Eugene and really just has immediate success, and then has really differentiated himself because he looks like Oregon's guy for the long term, maybe even that guy that can get them over the hump, so to speak. And, you know, there's just so much positive things to say about him. It's been really fun getting to cover him and his teams. What can you tell us about Dan?
Dan is exactly what any Oregon fan could have hoped for. And I say or any Oregon fan, because there's a wide variety of Oregon football fans, right? There are those that that acknowledge and have only been around for the new, you know, say the new, not even the NIL world, but just the new version of college football. And then there are those that have truly been around since before Rich Brooks, right, who saw the dark days of college football and have kind of worked through that transition with Oregon. Dan is the perfect combination of youth, excitement, loyalty, commitment. You know, one of the first things I remember, you know, I'll say about Dan when he came. He was kind of on his, let's say, introduction tour. You know, he was up at the Blazer game, and I don't know how. I think it was on Twitter or something. I saw a picture, and I just shot him a message. I was like, "Hey, man, you're just, you know, down the street. Doors open if you want to swing by and have a beer." And sure enough, you know, 5 minutes later, my phone rings, and it's a number I don't recognize. So of course I assume it's like, did he really calls up? He says, is that a real invitation? I was like, you bet it is. Like, you know, I'm in Northeast Portland. I'm literally like a quarter mile from where you are. Swing on by. And he shows up. And not only did he show up, but it wasn't just like, hey, shake your hand and it's, you know, going to hit the road. Sat in the backyard and for probably 2 or 3 hours, wow. just catching up, just learning, just connecting, right? He was there. Tosh Lapoy was with him as well. And there was, and I heard that same story from so many different people. He was so willing to go over and above to learn about a place that, you know, he had no experience with, right? He's connected with that older generation of Oregon fans in a way that, you know, Willie didn't, in a way that Mario didn't. But he's still that forward-thinking new generation college football coach. He understands what it, you know, he's been through it. Like you said, he's won a national championship as a defensive coordinator. He understands what's happening with college football. He understands transfer NIL. He understands recruiting. I'm going to sound like an old fart, but, you know, high school players these days, but it's changed, right? So he's that balance of loyalty, commitment, and understanding, you know, respect for place, but still acknowledging, hey, we need to move forward. Like, we need to always be consistently looking forward. And at the same time, do the right thing by the students that we're coaching, right? And I think that's what all of us as alums want. We want somebody who will honor all of the work that the Bill Musgraves and the Mike Bellottis and, you know, all the people that put in the work to get the program to where it is. We want someone who will honor that and look forward and bring us that national championship and, you know, do the things that bring that hardware home, but do it in a way that takes care of the students he's been entrusted with, right? Because that's what parents do, is parents send their kids off to college and say, you know what, hey coach, he's yours. For the next 5 years, I trust you with my son. And that's a big thing for a parent. And for those of us who helped build the program, we want somebody who is going to represent us nationally with respect and represent our program in a way that makes us feel good to be Ducks. He literally checks all of those boxes. Like that is exactly, you know, after Willie left and after Mario left, this is exactly what I would say. He is the exact coach that every single Oregon alum could have hoped for.
He's got a lot of people excited. That's for sure. And I think a big part of your answer when you talked about how he's kind of paid respect to all those that have come before him, that's a huge part of it, just getting everybody on board. And then I just think too, what's made him unique is that in a way that I don't think William Mario did, to your point, he's leaned into any and everything that Eugene is. He's right. Just made it his home. And I think that's part of what makes him so special as a coach and as a person and as a personality, because no one that's actively involved, I should say, takes on the identity of a program to the level of their head coach. And that's really what Dan has done. He's paid all those respects, but he's also made it his own and moved it forward with this behind the scenes access that we're getting, the cinematic recaps. I'm not sure that was his idea, but we've never gotten that kind of inside access to the program. So he's, in a way, he's sharing what makes Oregon special with everybody. And I think that's just maybe just selfishly from my job, it's really fun to see. But it kind of gives everybody else a front row seat to what he's doing.
Yeah, there aren't too many people who can make a 16-year-old a 25-year-old and a 64-year-old all feel like he's the right person for the job. That takes a special dude.
That's what it feels like. That's definitely what it feels like. And speaking of moving things forward and looking towards what's ahead in the future, big things in store for the Ducks this year. Got two more things for you, Joey, and then I'll get you out of here. Ducks are moving to the Big Ten. I'm sure that's not something that you ever envisioned yourself when you were playing in the Pac-12 era of Oregon football, but now Oregon's moving to play your Ohio States, your Michigans, and Penn States. What's your reaction to that as a guy who played in the Pac-12 and grew up in that era?
I'll say that I'm happy we've got a place at the table, right? You'd rather be Oregon than Oregon State right now. And I'm excited to see, or I should say I'm curious to see where this version of college football goes. I'd be lying if I didn't say that I'm sad and disappointed about the dissolution, the dissolve, the breakup of the Pac-12, right? I think that you can be excited about what is upcoming and at the same time still say there was some pretty significant mismanagement and that we never should have gotten to this place, right? There's no reason why the Pac-12 should be gone. There's not, you know, I remember somebody told me right after this happened, they said, well, if UCLA and USC and Oregon and Washington were attractive to the Big Ten and Arizona, Arizona State, Utah and Colorado were attractive to the Big 12 and Cal and Stanford were attractive to the ACC, you'd have thought that you could put them all together and make a conference out of those teams. Well, you did, and it was there for over 100 years. And because of some financial mismanagement and some poor decisions, we end up in a place where that is no longer. I think the biggest thing for me, I'm excited to play Michigan and Ohio State and Wisconsin, Penn State every year. I'm not necessarily excited to play Purdue and Indiana and Illinois, you know, those games that, you know, if the comparison, well, you know, okay, we're going to play Michigan and Ohio State and Wisconsin. Great. You know, that's fantastic. You know, in the Pac-12, we got to play USC and Washington, you know, and, you know, it seemed like there was always another team that was good each year, but it's the secondary matchups that I'm going to miss. You know, it's the games in Pullman that you knew were going to be a dogfight, right? It's that fear, that irrational fear that every time you show up in Tucson, something crazy or somebody's going to get hurt or somebody's going to, you know, something's going to implode. And conversely, every time we go to Tempe, you know, it's going to work out. It'll be fine. You know, last second, doesn't matter. As long as we have the ball, we're going to win, right? Those things don't exist in West Lafayette. You know, those things don't exist at you know, the with the Minnesota Golden Gophers, right? And I think that's the part that I'm going to miss the most. I'm excited to play those big schools. I'm excited to be part of the conversation. I'm happy that we have a place at that table, but I'm going to miss the Wazoo shootouts. I'm going to miss I'm going to miss those things that made the Pac-12 special.
That there were so many things that did make the Pac-12 or the Pac-10 special during its days, the rivalries, the tradition, the Pac-12 after dark element, that was just really pure chaos.
Yeah.
I think is the best way you can put it. And I think it's kind of what helped kind of, it was like that dessert or extra course for the East Coasters after they finished their whole day, their team played and everything, you know, they probably had kicked back one or two beers or something, and it's like, oh hey, this this Oregon and Washington State game's on. I might as well throw it on, and then you get to see Mace Funa grab a crazy interception and pick six that seals the deal. So I too am going to miss it, and I feel like the more we've gotten closer to the Big Ten becoming reality, I think that's something that's hit me some more, is just the loss of the tradition. And they will get to keep some of those rivalries, which is good. You know, you get to still play Oregon State and Washington. But even something as simple as like every season, you know, it seems so promising, and now you have to play Oregon State to round out the year. You can't, you know, you're not just going to get to the point where you want. It's not going to be a cakewalk, and that's always something that you're going to have to keep your eye on, that kind of a deal.
Yeah, it's going to be different. But I think that's kind of the theme of the show, is either you adapt or you die, right? College football isn't standstill. So you can be disappointed, and you can have sentimental feelings about it. And at the same time, you have to acknowledge, hey, you're either moving forward or you're getting left behind. And nobody wants to get left behind right now.
No one wants to get left behind. And it doesn't seem like Oregon's going to. We've talked about so much awesome stuff here, Joey. But the last thing that I have to make sure to ask you about, I circled it in my notes. We were talking a little bit before the show about the Harrington Foundation and how you're just doing a lot of work there. For people who maybe don't know about it, tell us a little bit, if you can, about the Harrington Foundation and what you guys have going on over there.
Yeah, I started the Harrington Family Foundation in 2002, after I got drafted. And after kind of, you know, a few years of trying to find ourselves, what we do is we give four-year college scholarships to graduating high school seniors from the state of Oregon to continue their education in Oregon. Our scholarship is based on financial need and community leadership. So we are looking for students that have invested in their community, have shown that they have identified a problem and worked to solve it. You know, when we're actually just about to start our scholarship review over the next month here. And I tell people, on the resumes, you know, on their applications, I look for not I was a part of this club, but I started this club, right? What is it that you did to be a leader, right? Because that's our goal. Is our goal is to find the next generation of leaders in the state of Oregon and connect them with, I would say to open doors, right? We've got our 16 students in school every year, but we also have a board of mentors, 11 mentors that really cover the gamut of industry in the state. You know, we've got president of wineries. We've got designers at Nike. We've got, you know, people at Wieden Kennedy and, you know, state Supreme Court justices. Like we have people that have said, I'm willing to help your students. And that's the cool thing about, I think the biggest thing that I've learned about playing at Oregon and being part of this community is people are willing to help. Right. And so my job is really to build a network for these students, is to find them, identify them, give them the four-year scholarship. And then as they graduate through our program, right, they find jobs and they say, well, how can I help the next group? Great. Come to dinner. You know, so what started as four students and a couple parents and a mentor has turned into 16 existing students. God, are we up on 36 graduates? Not quite. 32 graduates from our program. And they become resources, right? And so that's what the whole idea of the program was I benefited from people opening doors for me. I benefited from people saying, hey, let me introduce you to somebody. And I know there's thousands of students out there who are going to be okay because they have those connections. We're looking for students who have put their nose down and said, I want to make a difference. I want to change. And me personally, I want to help open doors for them. Interestingly enough, we've actually got a fundraiser coming up here. What's the date today? What'd you say? April 9th. We're kicking off on the 19th. So one of our original mentors, Tinker Hatfield, designed a 7-pair. I guess originally it was 5 because I got one, but then, so that would be 6. But then last year he pulled 1 pair out of his own. He's like, hey, look what I got. I was like, I didn't know you made another. He made 7 pair of Harrington Family Foundation Jordans. So we raffle those off every year, along with another pair. Last year it was the Jordan 14, the Oregon PEs that he did for the football team. This year it's the Jordan 1 Chicago, the off-whites. So we raffle off both pair of shoes. Tickets are $40. You get them both, you know, and we use that money for our scholarship program. So yeah, we've got that coming up. I almost forgot about that. So yeah, it's fun. Like the great thing is, like, I've been really lucky. I mean, I've won the lottery in terms of, you know, family and community and getting to play a sport, you know, as a job, and to do it in a way that has provided me the financial flexibility to be able to now give back. Right. And people ask me what I do now. I get to give scholarships for a living. You know, how cool is that? So to help me give scholarships, buy raffle tickets. There you go. That's my plug, my shameless plug at the end.
There you go. Well, no, that's awesome work that you guys are doing. Sounds like the ultimate example of paying it forward. I think it's awesome to just see pushing Oregon forward just as a state, you know, homegrown and investing back into the community. I love to hear that. We've covered a lot of awesome stuff here, Joey. Admittedly, almost gone double the time that I was planning for.
I got 3 minutes until my next meeting, so we're good.
Oh, perfect. Well, that sounds awesome. I just wanted to give you a chance, give you the floor. Is there anything else that you wanted to talk about, you know, Oregon football or anything before I let you go?
No, we're good. I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to promote the foundation. That's what's really most important to me right now.
Awesome. Well, I'm glad to do it. Glad to have you on. If you guys want to find more of me, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at mtorressports. You can read me over on Ducks Digest. Subscribe to my YouTube channel at Oregon Football Max Torres, and share the Ducks Dish podcast with your friends, with your family, and with other Duck fans. A big thank you to Joey for coming on. Thank you to you guys for tuning in, however you're tuned in. And we'll see you in the next episode of the Ducks Dish podcast.